When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
The Quack Attack is back, baby, for episode 5 of Mighty Ducks Game Changers here on PSR. I'm Kevin Mahadeo. From Brooklyn, New York, here as always with my co-host,
Melissa Woodward. And although I am not from Moose Lake, Alaska, I just, like, we have to open up with this. It's the best thing this show has done in a while.
Did you find relatability in our new character, Gertie, from Moose Lake, Alaska? Being from the wilds yourself?
Not particularly. I did grow up in sort of a suburb of Vancouver, which is like the third biggest city in our country. But, you know, I did feel a kinship that I felt, you know. Alaska is basically like Canada extreme. So, you know, I dig it.
I mean, honestly, I don't know how we all ended up with Canada and y'all, or Alaska and y'all didn't, because that is just, it's so far away. It's so far from us.
I mean, I believe gold. I believe gold.
Probably,
right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I believe
didn't it get like
the,
sold
the
to you as part of some sort of
them
deal?
Their hills.
Yeah.
That's definitely a part of this episode, is an introduction to one of the new characters. A lot going on this episode, some of which I will just say made me unnaturally angry. Like, there's a part where I wrote down, like, oh my god, I'm legit mad about this, which was a feeling to have while watching this children's show, basically. But here we are, episode 5, picking up after the great draft pick last episode. We're getting down into like the training period now, but most notably, like, yeah, we have two new members of the Ducks, which are called out right away to just be like, oh well, you know, if Evan's over there hanging out with his people, let's get to know our new people. One of whom doesn't, I think, get a real name. We just know him as Sad Boy to start off, which Maya.
And then Fries. We learn his nickname, Fries, which
Fries.
I think is good.
Yeah, he's AJ's younger brother, AJ Lawrence, the bad boy from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, the star player at this camp. This is his younger brother who, like them, we, the audience, have heard nothing about. And his nickname is Fries because he gets basically shafted to the side. He is the side order in the family grouping.
Yeah, which is truly tragic of a place to be. And yeah, I did love this moment of, you know, they invite Evan to sit with them, but then Cole's like, no, team meeting, you've got to come. And then Sam asks the others why they got drafted from the bottom. And Maya turns and goes, you, scared boy, tell us why you suck.
Scared boy. I thought she said sad boy. That's why I wrote down sad boy. That's amazing.
I think it was scared. That was what I wrote down. But yeah, I thought it was great. And then, of course, we have Gertie, who... she very quickly was like, yes, I noticed the attractive brother, which I thought was just such a weird way to put it. But she doesn't have one of her own. She's from Moose Lick, Alaska, which is just the county of Fishhook. She rarely plays with other kids. So she's got a few glaring weaknesses that I can't wait to find out what they are. But she's got moves that no one has ever seen because no one has ever seen her actually play.
Which is delightful. I'm already very into Gertie. I think we got a lot from her this episode. We didn't get as much at all from Fries, but I'm excited to find out. You know what? I'm a big Fry fan in IRL. Okay. French fries, one of my favorites.
I thought you were saying you were a fan of this kid, and I was like, what is there to be a fan of? Yeah, we don't know.
Well,
I'm a
fan of the name, I guess, is the big thing, which, because for me, like, I love fries. French fries, easily one of my top three foods. A well-cooked one, like, it really upsets me when I get, like, I order a hamburger and I get, like, bad fries with it. And I'm just like, this immediately degrades this entire meal. Because I'm there for the fries as well. Like, it's not just a hamburger star in the show. So
I'm not a big fry person. I think I enjoy fries as a vehicle for sauces.
I was going to say, you're in Canada, but I guess, like, poutine, like, your fries need to have stuff on top of it.
The deep, dark secret, Kevin, is that I'm not that big a fan of poutine either.
Oh, you're gonna get your Canada card revoked. Someone's
because I'm like not a big like gravy person either. Mm. So I just like the cheese. That said, like when it's 2 o'clock in the morning and you are making your way home at the end of a night, like poutine is the best. It is truly the best option at that point. But it's kind of the only time I crave it. It's a staple here at weddings, like when it's like 1 a.m., the dance floor is closing down and it's like kind of wrapping up the party.
Break out the poutine.
I've been to more than one wedding that served poutine at the end of the night, which is great. So
that is great. I kind of wish we had that for our wedding too. Like that is a solid like late night vehicle to wheel out to just be like, hey, the poutine is here. Like, you know, let's keep this party moving. I'm a big fry and sauce person. I really also like dipping sauces. Big thing for me.
Yeah. So I'm like much more a fan of the sauce and then, you know, the fry is fine. Here's a question for you though. In a conversation I had recently, which fast food chain has the best fries? Because of like, you know, the big ones. Because my stance is that it's McDonald's. I love a crispy fry. And they do the crispy fries so much better than everywhere else. They're too big. There's too much potato to them. I just want the, like, the crispy fry.
I'm with you in terms of, like, I'm not a big fan of steak fries because sometimes it's too much potato. And if you want to balance that, you got to get the outside crispy and the inside soft. No one ever manages to accomplish that properly. Palm Frites, I think, does a good job. Those are double fried fries, and they really, I think, work it out real well. But to what you're saying, McDonald's has the best fries for 2 seconds because they're only good for 2 seconds before they instantly go cold and then they taste like trash. Like, they lose their goodness so fast. But in those moments, you get like a fresh McDonald's fry. You're just like, oh, this is delicious and overly salty. But
the overly salted is the best part. Yeah.
But it goes so quickly. For me, I think two of my favorites are Checkers, which might be called like Rallies or something somewhere else. But they have like really good like Cajun seasoned fries. And hilariously, also Cajun seasoned fries, Popeyes, very solid fries. They got the right crisp and the right seasoning. I think that's key for French fries.
I've never been to a Popeyes.
Potato-y. Oh, but Popeyes is real good. If you're looking for like a good replacement for that like chicken sandwich that everyone really likes from this other place that is not.
Yeah, we don't have that place either, but yeah.
Yeah. I would say check out Popeyes. They got a good solid replacement for that. Man, all this talk about food now is getting me so hungry. especially for cake. Which we'll get in this episode.
That is true. We have a literal cake eater in this episode.
Indeed, a cake eater. But before we get to that part, we get to talk about... Actually, you know what? That comes up pretty quick from where we are here, right? We talk about them having to, they have to do bedtime before anything else, which I thought was very, very funny. This idea of do bedtime, because like we just watched on Netflix Do Revenge. I don't know if you've seen this movie.
No.
Oh, it's fantastic. It's a very like it's a send up to like not 90s movies, but like with Maya Hawke and oh my god, I'm blanking on her name, but she's from Riverdale and she's great. And it's just very funny. The movie is called Do Revenge, and it's about these two girls who are trying to like take revenge on other people, but they say like, let's do revenge, and it's just like, well, grammatically incorrect. So when I heard do bedtime, I thought that was pretty great, related to that moment. But yeah, we also have the, let's talk about the schedule that Alex deletes. What were your thoughts on this? Because look, it's training time, right? This is a part of the season where you got to get into it. You got to start training. You got to get ready for the game. There's a pretty rigorous schedule that's Coach Cole says is enough to make you puke, basically. And Alex is like, delete it from your phones because we're going to be doing this a little bit differently, which is such a shock coming from Alex to do things not the normal way.
Yeah, it's annoying. There obviously has to be a middle ground here that, you know, Cole is obviously taking things to this extreme. We don't want kids puking. That's not really necessary for the age and skill level that these kids are at. Like, it's fine. Calm down. But Alex's whole, like, we're just going to go outside and skip left to right is also probably not ideal. So the thing that I want from this show is for this team to, like, not do that well because they have not actually been training very hard. And then maybe Alex will be like, okay, maybe I need to, like, actually practice on the ice and, you know, check out the gym occasionally. And there's just, like, there's just so obviously a way to do that at this hockey camp that they're coming to. It's not like, you know, this isn't Kumbaya summer camp that then has been like flipped on its head and oh, suddenly now, like, all of these kids signed up to go to hockey camp.
Yeah, playing to an hockey actual sports camp
regularly is not some wild idea. And I agree that, you know, you can do other fun things as well, but hockey is not some like evil idea, and she can actually spend time training for hockey. That could be fun. I love practice, and like sports practice and like drills and scrimmaging and stuff is fun. It's fun to like work on the skill and improve and do all of it. I don't know if that's like extra nerdy of me, but I love practice.
I mean, like a little bit, but that's fine. Yeah.
But like, I don't know, it doesn't have to be terrible. And sure, there's obviously a balance. I think this is being done to an extreme level on purpose, obviously. But yeah, Alex's whole leg, just delete it. It's 82 degrees outside, which I have no idea how hot that is. Is that warm?
Right. It's nice. It's nice. That's about right for LA. It's nice weather. 82 is nice.
Right. So yeah, so they're not going to go to the ice rink. They're going outside and they're going to like sort of shuffle back and forth. Grapevine. Yeah, I don't know.
So that is like the going side to side thing, right? Like it is an exercise, the sliding stop stuff, but what I thought was interesting, again, like a conceit of what this could have been but didn't do, because we're getting these cuts of them doing a little bit of training outside while the Dominate crew, which of course includes Evan, is doing training in their quote-unquote high-tech gym. Really, they're just using gym equipment.
Feel like they're just in a gym doing push-ups. Yeah.
Could have leaned a little more into the high-tech part of it, because like to me, this had the potential to be shades of Rocky IV, which might mean nothing to you, but for those out there who know these films, there's a really like semi-famous thing in Rocky IV where Rocky's fighting a Russian boxer in Rocky IV. It's a very clear Cold War thing, but he goes to Russia to train and then fight this guy, and this guy is working out in this super high-tech gym. Like, he's using, like, really good equipment, and, like, it's very sterile, right? Like, the whole thing is, like, he's training like a machine. And this is paralleled with Rocky training, and he's just in the outdoors, like, running in the snow and, like, you know, lifting and chopping logs, like, doing it, like, old school style, right? Without the machinery and the high tech. And it's an obvious, like, parallel of, like, you know, the kind of, like, cold working out versus like working out in the cold, I suppose. And there was something interesting there in Rocky, because like whatever Drago was doing, they would parallel Rocky doing only a traditional way. And I feel like they could have done that here, right? Mm-hmm. I feel like you could have really like capitalized on Alex is still training them, but by doing similar things just in a different way or setting. And it could have like really like stuck out as like, once again, Alex not being a good coach, which last time she had Bombay there, she got nothing right now. So I don't know how.
And this is the thing, right? Like, I'm thinking of that practice in Mighty Ducks in the movie. I realize this is also Mighty Ducks, but in the movie where like they're passing the egg back and forth.
Yes, yes.
They're like doing a variety of drills and it's still fun. And it's like, scaffolded to their level appropriately, and it's something, and then they do like the lasso thing at the end, which I think is still fun, but like also sort of working on their skating and like, yep, their ability to change direction quickly. Like there's so many ways that you can make practice like fun and engaging without it pushing them to the point of like talking down to them and pushing them to the point that they puke. And so the only way that this works for me is if they go and do badly, is like, yes, if this is like, okay, the payoff that, because this is what you've been doing, is that you're not going to beat these other teams. And like, maybe we get, but I feel like we sort of already had this moment in the first season where they're like, but what if we actually tried to learn hockey?
We did. Right.
So I don't really want to do this again.
Right? Yeah. I'm in agreement there, and we'll see how they shake it out. I really hope they, that's why I was hoping they would do this like parallel thing, because it could show us like, okay, they're still learning and training in a way that makes sense. But we didn't really get that. Instead, we do get Jace doing nothing.
Yeah.
This episode, up until the very end, because like Alex, and later on, right, like goes to him and is just like, hey, you know, you should come hang out with us. Like, and he's just like, it's not my thing, man. And like, you know, she's like, I'm not going to stop asking if that's what you're hoping for.
I actually really loved this line. I wrote it down if I can find it. She says, we can keep doing this thing where I reach out and you push me away. It's not the most fun dance I've ever been a part of. And he says, then stop asking. And she said, never going to happen. To me, this is like pure Lorelai Gilmore, right?
Yes.
Where she's like, no. Like, I'm never going to give up on you, kid. Like, you will be a part of this team. I really loved this, like, Alex being this kind of mom figure, yep, for him. And, you know, later when we find out that it's been 10 years since his mom died, like, and that's kind of adds this whole other level to it. I really liked this interaction, but, you know, Jace also is annoying.
Yes. Here's the thing. I'm with Alex. I loved her line. I love that idea. But like the first time it happens to it, and when it happens later, I wrote down, oh, it's not just your dad. You're also a bit of a dick. Like, like, it's easy to be like, oh yeah, he's this way because of his dad. But it's like, or a little bit of him is also an asshole. Like, and I think,
I mean, he's a rebel, weird. Kevin. He's a rebel. The, you know, yeah.
What?
He's a bad boy.
About that. What were your thoughts on the, because like, we're going to cut to Nick and Evan talking about his relationship with Sophie as we intercut with Sophie talking to Maya. Let's talk about this thing that runs through, though, the Sophie and Maya discussion, because Sophie not being a rebel and Maya trying to teach her how to be a rebel and Sophie failing miserably. What were your thoughts on this like subplot here?
It was my favorite part of the episode.
It was really a lot of fun. She shows up and nobody notices her blue streak of hair.
Yeah. And so I think it's all spurred by this conversation that Sophie and Evan have, right? Where she's like, how is it lighting up the world of hockey? And he's like, how is it Sophie 2.0, the summer of chill? And she's like, oh, you're not buying it. And he's like, as long as you're buying it, which is kind of a weird condescending thing to say. And she's like, I don't have to buy it. I already own it. So I was like, okay, great. But then it's like very quickly undercut by all of this talk with Maya, where she's like, Evan only sees me as this rule following good girl, but she's complex, multifaceted. He wants her on this journey of excellence, but she's more on a road to rebellion, in which we learn some kind of horrifying things about Maya. And that she like
horrifying or just fantastic
that she illegally snuck across the border to Canada, mm-hmm, to get matching piercings. And now her belly button gets infected every 3 weeks.
Well, that part sucks, but
yeah, that's gross. But yeah, she's talking about, like, trust me, I can be a rebel. I only brushed my teeth for 90 seconds this morning. And everyone knows you're supposed to do a full 2 minutes. She says, I can rebel so hard. And my sister said, no rebel ever. I just love this. Like, Sophie, first of all, like, girl after my own heart, Sophie. Like, no, we're not cool or rebellious, even though, like, we might want to be. And Sophie's, like, trying to do these few things. But, you know, Maya's just like, this isn't who you are, and that's okay. But also, yeah, like, you're not doing it yet. If you're trying to be a rebel, this is not it.
You can't like project manage rebellion, right? Like, this reminds me so much of yeah,
which is totally she's like, but if I make an itemized list and then I do it, these of all my correct, rebellious right? acts, like, is that me? Yeah.
I love the idea too of, like, the shriek she dies is like the undercut part of her
it's
hair.
Hidden, yeah.
It's like, hidden. It's not even out in the open. So, like, that's also just, like, spot on. And later on, where she's timing, okay, I'm waiting here nearby 8 minutes and I'll be late. It's just like, that's not how you do that. You actually be late. You can't.
I was recently considering getting purple highlights in my hair, and my hairdresser talked me out of it. And I don't know what that says about me as a person, that just, my hairdresser
no,
was
this
like,
isn't you.
You seem to want to do this, but I don't think you're going to want this.
Yeah. This is you're gonna regret that decision. And even though it'll be more money for me, I'm gonna have to tell you to not do this.
Yeah, I mean, she was like, how about we go for more of, like, a natural highlight instead? And I was like, fine, but that's less cool.
Yeah, I really love this subplot. Like, I thought this was really solid. The subplot I did not like, which is really actually the main plot, I was not the biggest fan of, because they're having this discussion, Evan and Nick, in their own room, and it cuts to Nick's birthday is coming up. It's on Saturday. And Nick mentions, like, oh, my party's on Saturday night. And, you know, Evan's like, of course I'm going to be there. Like, for sure. I knew, like, immediately I knew, like, oh, this is the central conflict. And I even wrote down, I don't care what the conflict is. If he doesn't go, he's dead to me. Like, I was so upset if this was where the direction of this episode was going. So I was already on edge. Because, like, look, we all love Nick. We all adore Nick. And Nick's moms, who set him in his care package a stack of cards that all his friends would then fill out.
This kid is just too much.
I love it. He's not too much. His moms are doing this.
No, he is too much because he wants all of this. And I don't know. We'll get to it. But I was like, Nick, you are not helping me feel for you in this situation.
Yeah, there is a part. I will admit, there is a part that I was not on Nick's side, which is very rare. But he also pulls out his cake, which I thought was very funny, which is a Lightning McQueen from Cars cake. Yeah.
What, you've got a problem right with there. High performance race car built for speed?
Ka-chow. Like, it's a very great Disney synergy moment. I thought was very fun. And then of course we cut to, and we see very quickly, which I guess credit for them to not drag out, oh, what's going to be the reason? Cause we have, Evan and everyone at practice on the dominate side. And one of the players, Franklin, is having problems with pressure and making shots, and Coach Cole decides the best way to solve that is to add even more pressure to this kid. He's like, you have to make these three shots, no distractions, no one's on the ice, but if you don't make all three shots, everyone has to practice with you on Saturday night, extra practice. Dude, I was so mad at Coach Cole, not only because, like, this was such a, like, clear, like, oh, this is a conflict, quote unquote, about why Evan can't go. I was like, what is wrong with you, man? Like, everything about what he did here was so upsetting, like, on a level of just being like, this is to me where I'm like, now he's becoming a villain. Like, what are you doing? Like, what's happening right now? I did not like this at all.
Because this is, like, literally what happened with his son. His son got so freaked out that his shot is now all messed up. And it's like he's trying to do that again with this other kid. He has learned nothing.
Nothing.
Which is a bit wild. Yeah, I know. quick shout out to a couple things in this Nick Evan conversation, where he talks about Evan is making new friends. You know, not the kind of friends with funny inside jokes, but friends where you go on boats together.
Yeah, like,
that's a tier of friendship that I do not have, but good to know.
It's like your cool friends, right? Like you go hang out, you're on a boat. It's Instagram friends, not like the close friends that you actually talk about real meaningful stuff with.
Sure, yeah. And he tells Evan the dress code for the party is casual chic or whatever, buddy. I trust you. You got good drip.
I think I missed that drip line. That's incredible.
Yeah. So this is great. But yeah, I don't know. This whole like it was just so obvious the whole way along what was happening. And it was just one of those where like I didn't know who I was more annoyed at, whether I was more annoyed at Cole or more annoyed at Evan or more annoyed at Nick, but I was just sort of like annoyed all around.
Yeah, there. I mean, for me, I think it was Cole ultimately, but I definitely had annoyance levels with Evan. Funny enough, I actually think I'm least annoyed with Evan at the end of this episode.
Yeah, I think so too.
Because like what we have happened after this, right? Like after Franklin, you know, yiffs the last shot, he made the first two great, but of course that just adds to the pressure when it's the last shot. And Cole's just like, everyone's got to do practice. And Evan's talking to Alex. He's really upset about it. And I also didn't like this where Alex at first was just like, well, you need to go talk to him and blah, blah, blah. And this is sort of why I am on Evan's side to an extent. Because she's just like, you need to go talk to him. You know, you, the child, talk to this adult, the one who runs the camp, and tell him how you won't stand for this. I'm like, no, Alex, you go talk to him.
Evan's whole thing of like, no, I can't just like go to this grown adult who is my coach and like authority figure on multiple levels and say like, hey, this thing you've asked me to do, like, no, I can't do it because I have a birthday party. Like, no, in what world? This is like you going to your boss and be like, I'm sorry, I can't meet that deadline because I have to, you know, go for drinks with my friends. Like, no, you can't do that.
Yeah, no, that's you can't. And you have to like plan properly around it. But this is also like, this isn't a job for him, right? And it's like, this isn't that. And this is the part where I did lose it, right? Because Alex does go talk to Cole, says, don't tell Evan. I will say, as much as I was like, Alex, you should be the one talking to Cole. It's also like, I forget in my head, like it is Alex. So she's not going to do this properly, mostly. So like they have this confrontation and this is like where for me, I'm just like, what is happening? Like I was flames on the side of my face because she explains like, hey, it's Nick's birthday party. It's his best friend's birthday. You're doing extra practice. Like it really isn't necessary. You're at a camp. Like this isn't, I mean, and this isn't a job. It's not for money. Like this isn't like what? And Cole was just like, no, he has to do this practice. And the fact that it's just like, oh, it's his bet. Like, what are they like 14? Like prime years of coming of age and just being like, oh, it's his best friend's birthday. And him just being like, no, it doesn't matter. It's borderline sociopathic that Cole does not understand that. I was so mad because like for a child, for someone this young, like a best friend's birthday, a party is important. It's like going to a wedding. We don't have weddings at that age. Like it's our birthday party is essentially that level of stuff. And the idea of just like, no, I don't understand why that's a thing. Like in the real world, I'm like, dude, in the real world, there's so many reasons why also he could have gotten out of this. Like he could have had a sick day, like PTO. Like there's so many ways in the real world that you could escape this. And he tries it later, but I was just so furious about Cole's inability to understand why this is a dick move.
Yeah. Alex goes, I get it. You have your methods and I respect that. And he says, but do you really? And she says, no, not really.
No.
That was very funny. But I also think like Alex comes in this just immediately, like you and everything you stand for is terrible. And I'm like, okay, Alex, this is like obviously also not going to work.
Right.
And then she like calls him out. Part of me thinks you're doing this because you don't want to be alone for even one measly hour on a Saturday night, because that would mean that you might have to figure out what to do for fun. And I'm not sure you know how to do that. And I was like, whoa, Alex, way to like hit hard with this whole thing.
And coming in hot.
Yeah. And this is when Cole says, yeah, his wife always said the same thing, that he needed to learn how to have more fun. She died 10 years ago. And then again, I do love this moment where Alex like immediately thinks about Jace and is like, oh, I get this kid so much more now than I did a minute ago. And just like that, like moment of like immediate empathy from her of like, oh, this kid would have been so young. Like, I feel like I just saw that. I don't know how like Lauren Graham plays mothers so well, despite not being one herself, because she just does this so well. And Coach Cole says he would have to agree with Alex. Well, sounds like she was really smart and had reasonable priorities. I thought it was funny of Alex being like, yes, this woman who agrees with me, everything about her was great.
Everything about her is great. 100% behind her. I legit, when he started this conversation, by the way, and was just like, oh yeah, my wife used to be like that, want to have fun and blah blah blah, I was ready to just be like, and that's why she left you, because you can't. And I was like, oh, she's dead.
I was ready. I was wondering, I was sitting there and like, divorced or dead, divorced or dead, like it's gonna be one of these, right?
I was ready to go at him about divorce, but oh no, she died. Oh, that's so, I'm so sorry for your loss, you know.
Yeah. And Alex is talking about this, embracing the spirit of camp with water balloon fights, find a hill and roll down it, classic kitchen raid. I've never raided a kitchen. I've also never been to summer camp. I probably shouldn't talk about this. Like,
I've definitely raided kitchens, because I haven't been to camp, but I've been in, I guess, positions to do that in college. We had like a communal dorm and a communal kitchen, and we definitely like raided the kitchen late at night before. So go. I've done that. Haven't done the rolling down a hill. That doesn't sound fun. That just sounds painful.
I think I have done that, and it's just like, I don't know, it's fine. Water balloon fights are fun though. I had a water balloon fight.
Yeah,
I actually had at practice this summer, the weather got so warm that my coach brought a ton of water balloons, and we had a water balloon fight after practice. It was very fun.
That does sound like it would be entertaining. Yeah. I haven't had that since I was a kid, so doing it as an adult seems entertaining. Yes.
Yeah, it was good. And then, you know, it's one of those where it's like, yeah, you go like run around outside and like do some sort of outdoor conditioning exercise, and then, you know, you throw water balloons at each other. It seems like a good like combination of these two priorities, that there's like some potential there.
Maybe we'll get this later, right? Like maybe the combined training sequence. I think using the puck to like launch the stick to launch a water balloon at each other could be a thing.
There you go. Maybe we'll get all three of these. We've had the kitchen raid at some point. They'll roll down a hill.
I don't know what training that would be, but
I don't know. But yeah, and Cole says that at one point a couple years ago, he snuck into the kitchen and ate a bunch of ice cream. So Alex calls him an out of control party animal.
Yeah, I mean, considering how we see later, it is a bit animalistic how he eats that ice cream.
Yeah, it ended up being quite dramatic.
Yeah.
I thought that, yeah, this whole thing with like Alex telling Evan to go talk to him, then going to talk to himself, then Evan trying to get away, it was just all like very messy, and I don't know.
Super messy. I mean,
at the same time, no one's talking to Nick about this, which I think is like the thing they just had to do, is just be like, hey, Nick, Evan has to go to practice. How about you and him do something special to celebrate your birthday at another time? And like,
oh, that's actually a good idea. Cause I was actually going to say though, I relate to Nick a lot, cause I would be furious finding out like, oh, he can't come cause there's practice or something. And I was actually going to say, Josh is not going to be here for my birthday, and I'm furious with him, and I don't know how we're going to recover. But actually, that point of just like, just do something else for your birthday together before
just,
that is like,
just some other time to do like a special thing together.
So well, I guess you solved that problem for us.
There we go. I'm glad to have preserved the friendship of two grown men. Yeah.
Well done. Thank you. The point is though, I understood why no one told Nick, because I know how I would react. Because I was ready to. But
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky?
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
What do you think of this Maya leaving her parents on red?
Yeah, I actually, so you're having this whole conversation, right, with Sophie about like how to be a rebel. Into it. Super,
yeah,
into
me
it.
Too.
I do not, like, obviously this is why a lot of like younger people have like the fake accounts, right? That's the one your parents know about. You have your Finstas and all that, right? Like the way to like keep your parents out of your realm of social, especially, I think is valuable. But also, depending on the age, keep your parents off social. There was a point where my parents started texting like way late in the game, and I was like, okay, I'll show you how to do that. And they text a lot now. And there was a point a couple years ago that my parents were just like, how do I create a Facebook account? And I was like, absolutely not. Shutting that down. You are not doing that. I'm not showing you how to do that. That's not happening. And they don't have one. They have no, like, absolutely not. Like, you, I'm not letting you into that world. I'm very glad I didn't. But like, you keep them out. And I think it's the same thing. I definitely have members of my family too, where I just don't accept friends because, like, of what I might post. Because, like, there's a curated sense of self you have that you present to your family versus, like, what I'm doing with my other friends, right? Like, it's different. So I'm all about leaving your parents and certain members of the family on red. Also, I just don't go to Facebook anymore, so anyone who's sending me friend requests on Facebook, I'm just never gonna see.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I don't know. I have my mom on, like, Facebook and Instagram. She mostly posts photos of the cats, which is great. I
guess Canada's not as...
I don't think this is like a country thing.
Well, Facebook is responsible for certain things happening in this country that I think is a country thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I'm fortunate enough that my family is just like not very prevalent on social media in general. And so we're all just kind of like
right way to be.
Not on it together.
Honestly, we should all be that way. To not be on it. I don't.
But I did love this. Like, red, she's like, "Why do you have your parents?" And she says, "So I can make safe and responsible social media choices." And I'm like, "Yeah, Sophie's parents are right. Like, you should be monitoring your child's social media presence."
No,
what?
I this as a child because I don't need my parents looking over my shoulder like that. Like, it's
but
it's
like. Children are irresponsible idiots. You need to like
that's
not let
true.
Them put things online that will haunt them for the rest of their days.
That's true. Damn it. Now you're appealing to the other side of me where it's just like, yes, be the adult. And yeah. Like, I do think kids today, I don't
kids,
understand like
kids of all time. Our childhood just wasn't documented in the same way. There are so many things that I am happy. There's so many times that I am grateful that Facebook did not exist when I was in high school.
100%. And I think that's like a thing that needs to be understood though, right? Like, I think that I'm not saying like kids today are dumber than we are. Kids full stop are idiots. Like, Every generation is the dumbest generation. And I think what is missing, though, is that full understanding of the internet being forever. And I don't always agree with that, though, because, like, I also think what you do online and you do in your private life in terms of, like, going out, like, drinking with friends or whatever shouldn't affect certain stuff. Like, I know, like Jobs would be like, oh, you post things where you're out drinking. And I'm like, F off, old man. Like, what are you talking about? It's like a thing human beings do, you know? Yeah, it's a dangerous slippery slope. I'm more on Maya's side than I am on Sophie's side is where I am, though.
Yeah. Well, so we're at Nick's party, and Maya finds Sophie waiting outside the party to be at least 8 minutes late. She says, hiding behind a tree and checking the time so you're late on purpose when you're actually early isn't rebellious. It's insane. And Sophie's like, but what if I sign the card, stay breezy, instead of warm wishes? I just love this girl so much because she's
so good. Trying. The stay breezy also reminded me, last week we talked about, during our icebreaker, what's something that makes you, like, made you laugh, like, a ton. I was like, ooh, I should bring this up, for this, is there's someone took a photo, and it was of a product called Stay Fresh Cheese Bags. So it's cheese bags to keep, you know, like to keep your cheese fresh so it doesn't go bad. But just the line, right? But just the line.
Stay fresh cheese bags.
Stay fresh cheese bags. They're like, just imagine like a 90s like TV character just saying that. It's just like, stay fresh cheese bags.
I was going to say, do you know who would say it? Is the duck in the animated Mighty Ducks series that has all the 90s. I've forgotten his name completely, but you know who I'm talking about.
Yes, I think that's spot on right there. Yeah. Amazing. I just A plus that one, and also classic straight jean was another one. I'm just like making a joke and just being like, ah yes, classic straight jean. Like, yeah, you know,
classic straight jean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, next party. Jeans.
Yeah, this party is the moment that I was like, okay, Nick,
yes,
enough of this.
Because, I agree.
Like, the weird, like, Nick stopping everyone else from even drinking pop at his party until Evan gets there is just truly what, like, it's one of those things where, like, I get that you have a best friend, but you are making this so extreme that it's like you don't even like these other people. They're just there as accessories, all waiting until Evan shows up. And, like, I know, they're all standing around awkwardly, and Nick asks Maya to stick to water because soda is basically a party in your mouth, and they aren't at the party stage yet. They're allowed to talk, but keep it to amusing anecdotes that Evan has already heard. Like, this is all just so controlling and weird, and I just need Nick to, like, just chill for a second.
I would 100% agree. This was a part where I turned a bit on Nick here. Because, like, he's, as much as I'm like, Coach Cole is insane, Nick is also being insane in this moment.
Yeah.
Because Cole essentially punished everyone for Franklin's mistake, right? Because of one person. Nick is, like, doing the same thing. It's like, everyone is being punished because Evan's not here yet. And I think that's so unfair. It's his party and he can be a, you know, brat if he wants to, but I would be mad at you for doing so. And I think he's just being too over the top. Like, especially, I love when Sam was just like, I'm going rogue, and like pulls out the silly string and starts, and Coop just there, like, like he's in Flashdance, just like, you know, let it pour on me. I thought it was so funny. That was such a great, great moment. And then Nick, like, shuts it down from happening. So, like, yeah, all of that was not feeling. And then Alex, of course, also is just like, Nick, I need to tell you something, because Nick is like, he'll be here. He said he's gonna be here. He texted me, he's gonna be here, which is, I think, borderline about. And that's why Alex probably told him, is like, I think borderline about to have a mental breakdown. Meanwhile, though, we do have Evan trying to get out of this. He says that he's not feeling well, which could have been a plan that possibly, and this is one of those things, his plan could have worked out, right? If Alex hadn't interjected. But because Cole knows it's fake, he's just like, oh yeah, you should lie down on the bench. And he even asks, like, are you feeling better? And he's just like, no, I should go home. He's like, or do you want to go to Nick's party? Alex told me. And Evan rightfully is just like, God damn it. Yeah. I will say I love that it was Evan standing up to Cole. Cole still being a dick and being like, I will bench you if you leave. And him still being like, you know what? This is not as important to me. Like, Nick is important. And he leaves. And I love that. I actually really, really loved and respected Evan standing up to Cole and basically telling him to F off, which is what people should do to their bosses when their bosses are being psychotic. But that's a whole different story.
Yeah. And I think it sort of took like, it took this moment where it's like, okay, like this is the decision that you're making between. It's not this sort of like general, vague, like, doing this team, like being on this team thing. But he's like, okay, you will miss out on a hockey game to go to this party. And I think Evan was like, yeah, okay, this is like,
yeah,
I can do this, right? It's not that he's getting kicked out of the whole camp, correct, or something. It's like, okay,
which is reasonable ultimately. Yeah. And it's like, that should have been the solution to start this, the whole thing, you know?
Yeah. And honestly, like, yeah, if you miss practice, you should get less playtime. Like, I think that that's okay. So to me, this is like kind of the most reasonable moment all around where it's like, okay, we were all able to come to a solution here that didn't need
although
to be
Cole
quite
is
so wild.
Stupefied that he chose to go. And it's just like, what sociopathic tendencies do you have, my man? And Evan goes running to Nick's party. I think Jace actually shows up right before this.
Yeah, so Jace, so first of all, Nick says that Evan's probably late because he got hung up writing the card. All that white space, the stress is crippling.
I get that, actually.
Yeah. Jace shows up and he says, I'm here, let's be chill about it. And Maya says, late, no card, no respect for the soda rule.
That cracks open a soda immediately, which, yes.
Which that is fair. That's what you do right when you call. Go to a party. You're like, okay.
I would be so thirsty.
And I loved this moment where they're all sitting around and Maya says, never thought I'd say this, we're out of things to stack. Which I was like, it's a great thing to do at a party when you're trying to kill time.
Well,
and Sophia apologized.
Rocks, which, incredible.
Yeah, they're stacking rocks, they're stacking cups. Sophie apologizes to Gertie, who says, sorry for your first birthday party experience. They're normally not this depressing, but Gertie says it's the best that her last birthday party, the snowmobile broke down halfway through the 4-hour excursion to get pizza.
Wild. Like, I don't, that's a level of just like, you should move. Like, you are living in a place where clearly humanity doesn't belong or want to be, and maybe you need to get out of there.
Yeah, because if you can't get pizza within, you know, a reasonable amount of time.
Although I would question how good the pizza in Alaska is.
Sure it's terrible. No offense to our Alaska listeners, of which I think we only have one.
They're gonna come at us. They're gonna come at us and be like,
Josiah.
Listen,
it's just Josiah. Tell us how the pizza is in Alaska.
Yeah, how's the pizza?
Let's be honest. Josiah doesn't like Game Changers. He's not listening to this podcast anymore.
He was only here for the Mighty Ducks cartoon, and that's it.
Yeah. But yeah, it's this whole like weird dramatic thing, and then I did think that, yeah, so Evan shows up out of breath. He tries to, like, lie to Nick about it.
I thought that was so funny. He lost his present. Like, he was ready to go. Like, a lie in lock. And then Nick,
and he's probably, like, sweaty and gross and everything from practice. And just like, dude, like, you were obviously playing hockey. And Alex says you didn't have to watch Coop play solitaire with leaves. Which I don't know what that means.
That's too depressing of a thought, like, of where you would have to be mentally to get to that point. Nick immediately was like, your mom told me. And Evan was just like, mom. And it's sure, like, he had plans for both instances, clearly had contingencies ready to go, which honestly is the most adult thing you could do in life, is having those contingencies for instances like this. I don't necessarily condone that you should be ready to lie in all instances, but on certain occasions, you need to have that prepared. And he had that on lock, ready for Cole about being sick. He had it on lock, ready for Nick, like, lost your present, like, a whole thing ready to go. But then his mom Blew up his scene.
I love that the most adult thing for you is not like honesty and open communication, but like having lies prepared when you need them.
Correct. I think that's honestly more adult. Honesty is not always the best policy, everyone. If we have any kid listeners, there's a life lesson for you.
Yeah, and I love that Evan like immediately is still like ready to throw his mom under the bus with this, where he's talking about,
yes,
he says it's his fault. Small harmless lies to coaches aren't effective if his mom has already told him the truth. Like, it's immediately like, this is my fault, but also this is her fault. But
also
like,
her fault. I love that. I love that she was called out. Yes, I wrote that down too. I'm like, I'm so glad that that happened.
But I also knew, like, the moment he's like, yeah, you know, I got benched and I don't know how to make it up to you. I'm like, oh, Nick is going to forgive him immediately as soon as he finds out that Evan had to, like, sacrifice to be there at the party. Like, how could you not?
Which is good. I mean, I think that that is a good lesson there, right? About like he gave something up and it's just like he gave something up that is important to him. So I think everyone ended up on the reasonable side here, which is great. That squirrel, though, unreasonable. at least have some cake, and they turn and a squirrel has eaten its way into the cake. That's why you need a Gus there, because he would have annihilated that squirrel.
Sure. Here's the question.
Then eating the cake himself, though. But
yeah. Do you cut off the part of the cake that the squirrel ate and still eat the rest of the cake?
I'm not gonna lie. That's what I thought they were gonna do.
That's what I thought they were gonna do too.
I was just like, just cut off that part, eat the rest of the cake.
Yeah.
But maybe that squirrel's carrying some disease. I don't know what the rules are, because like, there's rules.
How far
all
into
that
a
stuff.
Cake could disease spread?
Right, spread that quickly. There's also, because they do this with cheese, right? Like,
yeah, you cut off the moldy bit of cheese.
Right, but it's only for particular types of cheese. You can't do it for all cheese. I forgot what it is, where it's just like, I think it's hard cheese you can, soft cheese you can't, because the mold could actually travel further. There's like a whole thing there. And unfortunately, though, I don't
never
remember
let
which
cheese is... get moldy. I do not understand this experience.
You just eat the whole thing in one sitting.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not wrong. I definitely like give me some brie, and I'm just like that's stupid.
I've literally never had moldy soft cheese.
Oh, let me tell you, one of my favorite snacks is adult Lunchables, right? Where you buy your own crackers. Like I usually get like Townhouse crackers, some really fancy cheeses, and then like, you know, actual like cut slices of like pepperoni and salami or prosciutto and stuff. Excellent. My favorite types of snacks to make up.
I mean, Kevin, it's called a charcuterie board. That's why we invented this. It's the
same
thing.
To call it that.
Yeah. We all just love, you know, meat, cheese, and crackers.
It's true.
It was funny. Sometimes when I am feeling really lazy, I order grocery delivery, even though I live a block and a half from a grocery store.
That's psychotic. unless it's like Canada cold, in which case I kind of get it.
No, it's that I'm ordering like flour and cat litter and like a bunch of heavy things that I have to like carry home. I don't have a car, so I'm like carrying all that on my walk. So I try to make it worth it with like a really big order. But sometimes I'm like, oh, I'll just add this to my order, some like fancy cheese. And I sort of tend to choose the cheese at random of like, I don't know, we'll try this like red Lichtshire. I can't even say it. Or something. But then it's always funny to me when it's like out of stock. And so then they don't send it. It's like not one of those things that they'll replace.
Another cheese.
And I was like, you could just pick like any other fancy cheese and I would have eaten it. It's okay. Like, didn't need to be this specific type of fancy. The mandate was fancy cheese. It was not
fancy
like
cheese.
Specific fancy cheese.
I would have eaten any type of cheese, guys.
Yeah, you could have thrown in any cheese. It would have been fine.
I miss our big grocery store in California, because New York doesn't really do like traditional, like it's a lot of bodegas and smaller grocery stores. But I miss like my big supermarket of Ralph's in California. They had a huge like cheese section, and we used to go and like browse around and pick cheeses, and they would have like the $5 bins, which is basically like the ends of the cheese
that
they couldn't cut chunks of, and so you can just get like for under $5 like good cheeses. One of my favorite was this habanero jack, which is like pepper jack that use habanero. Ah, delicious. Love my two favorite things combined, spicy stuff and cheese. It's delight.
The wildest thing, though, and Canadians will back me up on this, or anyone who has traveled to Canada, our cheese prices are astronomical. It is truly wild how expensive cheese is in Canada.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I do think my theory. So I have done some reading before on why It's really hard to find like non-Canadian dairy products. The Canadian dairy lobby is very powerful and like lobbies to the government quite a bit.
There should be no lobbies.
Yeah.
So, I'm very against lobbying. I feel like lobbying is just legal bribing. So, you know.
Yeah, no, it's dumb. But the Canadian dairy lobby is very strong. And so it's our butter, first of all, has a lower fat content than like American and European butter.
Yes, this I knew.
Yeah. And so like, because I was having trouble because I was trying to make pie and I was like, why is my pie crust all weird? Mm-hmm. And it was because I was using Canadian butter. So I had to find specific like Canadian recipes to account for the like weird butter content.
Yep. Specifically with baking, this is how I know, because I would see baking recipes and they would talk about like you can't use Canada butter. I was like, oh
yeah,
my gosh.
But it's really hard for us to find non-Canadian butter. Like bakeries have to like order it special and like pay all these like extra taxes on it and stuff to get it because of the Canadian dairy lobby. And so this is my theory as to why cheese is also very expensive in Canada. I don't actually know this for sure though, so if people have more information, I'm like weirdly invested in this like journalistic story of mine that I'm
this is what we this is the about. Real case we need to crack here.
Yeah, we need to do like a serial style podcast about Canadian cheese prices.
Yes, I'm into that. You know what, that's what we'll do next time on this podcast. That's what we're gonna do. Forget recapping shows,
because I remember being in university and visiting friends of mine who were like both living away from home on student loans, like, you know, not having a lot of spending money. And we were like grocery shopping while I was visiting them. And they just both like stopped dead in their tracks in the cheese aisle and turned to me and they were like, we miss cheese. It was like, because they couldn't afford it loans. And I was still living at home at the time. And I was like, I should have brought you cheese. I'm so sorry. Like, oh, I didn't know.
That is a big negative if I ever now, because it used to be like, if I have to run away, where would I run to? And I'm like, I guess there's Canada. But now I'm just like, ooh, that's a big negative for me.
Yeah. I mean, we have cheese. It's just expensive.
Astronomical. Yeah.
I can't remember how we started talking about cheese. Lunchables.
It started with the squirrel
the
eating that cake.
The
yeah,
squirrel.
I know, we got yes. there. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Does the 10-second rule apply to squirrel spit?
Right, but they decide no, and so what their solution is that they're going to go raid the pantry and the kitchen. So they all head out, decked out in the glow sticks.
In the glow, they kept calling it. I don't know why they can't say glow sticks. They kept talking about the glow.
The glow, because it's like, I mean, glow sticks actually could just be a copyright, but also like I could see like you're in the glow because it's all lit up and you're like in it now. I did really like the little scene of Sam, you know, doing his role and Gertie joining. And immediately, of course, I'm just like, oh, I'm shipping them. Like, it was instantaneous for me to ship Sam and Gertie after that moment of them both taking the dive and then, like, crawling through.
Yeah, and Gertie's like, what are you doing? And he's like, the lasers. And she's like, the school has everything.
Yeah, it's great. It was so this cute. School has everything.
Okay, Stefan. Yeah.
But we head into the pantry area. Alex goes ahead to scout, finds Coach Cole digging into ice cream, and this is like animalistic. He's got like an ice cream mustache going. He's just going all in on a giant tub. I actually, as mad as I was with him, I thought this moment was pretty funny. So
it was good. It was also gross. Like, that is a shared tub of ice cream, sir. Like, scoop out your portion. Like, I do that to my ice cream at home, but that is my ice cream that no one else is trying to eat.
No, like, but everyone else is eating that ice cream.
Yeah, that's gross. He does refer to it as routine nutritional loading exercise, which is funny.
Yeah.
As he's trying to like pass it off as like not a weird thing. But
not
I think this is
eating
clearly
a bunch
sign
of creamed fat, basically.
Yeah, I think this is a sign that like Alex's words got to him, right? That he's like percolating about this, like, oh, that one time I did this one thing. And yeah, I think like something is like noodling around in Coach Cole's brain.
Yeah, I at first had been thinking where he's just in there. I'm just like, oh my god, are you pathetically eating a tub of ice cream because a child stood up to you? But it's like, oh no, it's because of the whole like having fun thing. Got it. But for a moment, I was just like, oh my god, this guy got broken real quick.
Yeah, I wasn't thinking about it with that, but I was sort of thinking of the like, oh, is he really sad because like practice is over and now he has to spend time to himself and this is what he's doing? But I don't think it's that either. I do think it's the, like, Alex told you to try to have fun and now he's trying to have fun.
The horror spending time with myself is too much, so I will just eat a tub of ice cream.
Yeah.
I will freeze my brain before I have to listen to it.
Yeah. And I did love this moment where, you know, she's like, okay, you should go. Like, kids are about to come in here. And he's like, they can't. And he says, okay, if you agree this never happened, and also points out there's sprinkles under the thing.
Yes.
I love that this very serious hockey camp has ice cream and sprinkles.
Yeah. Like, considering the nutrition part of it, it's a bit weird, but I'm not going to complain. I love a good ice cream and sprinkles. Aren't they called something like super weird in like the UK or something, like tidbits or some nonsense?
Yes, they are. And I can't remember what it is.
Nonsense people over there in the UK.
Yeah, this is like totally a conversation that I feel like we have had before.
I can't remember. Yeah. But yeah, that's basically where we wrap up this episode. It ends on a higher note considering the breakup last episode, which is very fun. But overall, an entertaining, if at times infuriating, episode of Mighty Ducks Game Changers this week.
Yeah. Okay. So according to the internet, they are called sugar strands or hundreds and thousands.
Hundreds and thousands. That's what I've heard. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. I don't. Why? What is happening? Why
there's
are
hundreds
they...
and thousands of them.
I guess so. Another UK variant of the term is vermicelli, especially when used to describe chocolate sprinkle. No, that's a noodle.
That's something else entirely, guys.
Yeah. Okay. This is weird. And some sprinkles are not allowed in the UK because they contain a coloring agent that is illegal. Okay, anyway, this is a whole other food-based rabbit hole that I will not go down.
Yeah, we don't have to worry about the sprinkles this time. Maybe some other time when we finish investigating the cheese conspiracy. We'll go into the sprinkle conspiracy of the UK. I'm just going to hop around from country to country, find out what their food conspiracy theory is.
Their food-based conspiracy is, yeah. Yeah, Jace tells Sophie he likes the blue streak in her hair, and Maya says, the bad boy? Now that would be a nice rebellion. And I'm like, oh, Maya.
Yeah.
Some work in there. I'm here for it. I don't think I need Evan and Sophie to be together, right? I'm here for Sophie and Jace.
I mean, sure. Again, I've got my other ships I'm running right now. Gertie and Sam, Maya and Nick, possibly. So, like, you know, I've got other ships to keep track of. I can't keep track of this Sophie, Jace, Evan.
The one that's like
triangle. Actually
on the on the show and a part of the plot.
Ones, yeah. No, thank you. My fictionalized one in my head. Yes, please. That's what it's all about. But yeah, before we, of course, close out, I'm going to pull up the icebreaker question. Very apropos one. This one is a would you rather question. And it's would you rather give up your smartphone or your computer? And I feel like the answer might like date us.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Which one for you?
Probably realistically give up my smartphone. And I think you're right that I think this does date us. Like, in my mind, there's like a part of me that thinks that, like, this phone can just do anything the computer can and it's more portable, so that's fine. But I also think that, like, I'm trying to imagine, like, doing my job on my phone, and I think I would go nuts. I think I would be really trying to, like, do, like, stats and writing papers and stuff, like, on my phone just seems like a nightmare. So I think I would rather have to, like, bring my computer around with me and, like, check in on my, like, texting and stuff, like, on my phone. Like, I have all my, you know, my texts and everything comes from my computer anyway. Yeah, that seems better. I don't know. What about you?
I didn't even consider doing work. I just thought, like, I was just thinking in life. I also in my head would give up a smartphone and keep a computer, but I do think that is a old millennial thing. I think if you ask a Gen Zer or anything like that, they sooner give up the computer because they could do so much on their phone. Like, definitely people have, like, written novels on their phone, you know, and their commutes and stuff like that. So, like, there's a lot that can be done with the smartphone for sure. But I think it's partially, part of me wants to convince myself it's the logical choice to keep the computer, but I just also think it's the it's the old person just like, no, I can't give up my computer. That's what we do things on, the computer. You know, yeah. Like, I feel like that just makes us very old, but I think that's where I land on the smartphone versus computer debate. It would be interesting if there was like a study about this.
Yeah, it's tricky, right? Like, I was just in the States for a while where I didn't have access to use my phone unless I had Wi-Fi. And so it's like, you know, I could get by and I could make it work. You know, we ended up getting Wi-Fi quite a bit, so it ended up not being that big of a deal. But I think I could manage it if I had to. And yeah, the other just seems like truly, like, yeah, maybe I just don't fully utilize the functionality of my phone. It is probably likely.
Probably. I definitely don't. But like, that's the other thing too, is that I think without phones, we'd spend less time on social media, which in the long run also makes me sound old as shit, but I do think it's probably better if we spent less time on social media.
Except for the patron Discord. Stay there.
Stay on the patron Discord. Is that social? I guess Discord is social. Yeah, it's a social site. Okay, well, yeah, stay on the Discord. That's all you need. Delete Facebook, delete Twitter. Everything else can go. Discord stays and the patron stays. Let's keep that running.
It's actually, I absolutely spend less time on other social media since joining the Discord. That is like,
oh, hell yeah,
true.
Look at that. The true benefits of becoming a PSR patron.
Yeah, except for my recent side tangent into TikTok. I now spend quite a bit.
I spend my most time on TikTok. I love it. TikTok is the one social media site I'm all about.
I found wildlife rehabilitation TikTok, and it is just my favorite thing.
Oh my God, there's so much good ones. I love dog talk. There's so much on there of just dogs being cute. Obviously I'm on Nerd Talk. Book Talk is really fun. Lots of books that I want to read but then end up not, but it's better than like having the physical part of it. I'm just like favoriting to be like, yes, I will get these books, which is better than buying them and just having them on shelves and I never read them, I suppose. But yeah, TikTok is a fun place.
I was like watching TikToks about the recent scandal around the BC premiers, like our head of provincial government, and like there's a leadership race for who to be, because our premier stepped down because he has cancer. It's quite sad, but his replacement, there was like scandal around that, and I was like watching TikToks to like learn about what happened with that. I was like, this is great.
That's amazing. Mine is not anything close to that important. That's how I get all the deets about the latest celebrity stuff. If you ever wanted to know about the Olivia Wilde stuff, like I definitely found, like I was actually pretty up to date on that, but TikTok has like full rundowns of everything you need to know. I'm like,
oh,
yes, thank
you,
let me know.
The Try Guys scandal, I like
the Try Guys
all over my TikTok.
Yeah, very handy resource.
That's true.
Yeah, we're not old, we're young. Look at us talking about TikTok. All right, I'm gonna call it. The game is over. We're the real losers here. But that will wrap it up for us this week on Mighty Ducks Game Changers. We'll of course be back next week for episode 6 as we continue on with the series. Still having a great time here. Looking forward to that. I do have outros here. I'm gonna give the old quack quack, Melissa.
Quack quack, Kevin.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.